Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 3, Chapter 12. Doctrine of the Rest of the Apostles. The Apostle Peter, therefore, after the resurrection of the Lord and his assumption into the heavens, being desirous of filling up the number of the 12 apostles, and electing into the place of Judas any substitute who should be chosen by God, thus addressed those who were present. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled when the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David, spoke before concerning Judas, which was made guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us. Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Thus leading to the completion of the apostles, according to the words spoken by David. Again, when the Holy Spirit had descended upon the disciples, that they might all prophesy and speak with tongues, and some mocked them, as if drunken with new wine, Peter said that they were not drunk, for it was the third hour of the day, but that this was what had been spoken by the prophet. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy. The God, therefore, who did promise by the prophet that he would send his Spirit upon the whole human race, was he who did send, and God himself is announced by Peter as having fulfilled his own promise. For Peter said, Ye men of Israel, hear my words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by powers and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, by the hands of wicked men ye have slain, affixing to the cross whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden by them. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, lest I should be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. And then he proceeds to speak confidently to them concerning the patriarch David, that he was dead and buried, and that his sepulchre is with them to this day. He said, But since he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body one should sit in his throne, foreseeing this, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, he said, hath God raised up, of which we all are witnesses, who being exalted by the right hand of God, receiving from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, hath shed forth this gift which ye now see and hear. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the multitudes exclaimed, What shall we do then? Peter says to them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thus the apostles did not preach another God, or another fullness, nor that the Christ who suffered and rose again was one, while he who flew off on high was another, and remained impassible, but that there was one and the same God the Father, and Christ Jesus, who rose from the dead, and they preached faith in him to those who did not believe in the Son of God, and exhorted them out of the prophets, that the Christ whom God promised to send, he sent in Jesus, whom they crucified and God raised up. Again, when Peter, accompanied by John, had looked upon the man lame from birth, before that gate of the temple which is called Beautiful, sitting and seeking alms, Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And immediately his legs and feet received strength, and he walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Then, when a multitude had gathered around them from all quarters because of this unexpected deed, Peter addressed them, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up for judgment, and denied in the presence of Pilate when he wished to let him go. But ye were bitterly set against the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. But ye killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in the faith of his name, him whom ye see and know, hath his name made strong. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did this wickedness. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and that the times of refreshing may come to you from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, prepared for you beforehand, whom the heavens must indeed receive until the times of the arrangement of all things, which God hath spoken by his holy prophets. For Moses truly said unto our fathers, Your Lord God shall raise up to you a prophet from your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul whosoever will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And all the prophets from Samuel, and henceforth as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, sent him blessing you, that each may turn himself from his iniquities. Peter, together with John, preached to them this plain message of glad tidings, that the promise which God made to the fathers had been fulfilled by Jesus. Certainly not proclaiming another God, but the Son of God, who also was made man and suffered, thus leading Israel into knowledge, and through Jesus preaching the resurrection of the dead, and showing that whatever the prophets had proclaimed as to the suffering of Christ, these had God fulfilled. For this reason, too, when the chief priests were assembled, Peter, full of boldness, said to them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined by you of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he has been made whole, be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at nothing by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven which is given to men whereby we may be saved. Thus the apostles did not change God, but preached to the people that Christ was Jesus, the crucified one, whom the same God had sent the prophets. Being God himself, raised up and gave in him salvation to men. They were confounded, therefore, both by this instance of healing, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing took place, and by the teaching of the apostles, and by the exposition of the prophets, when the chief priests had sent away Peter and John. These latter returned to the rest of their fellow apostles and disciples of the Lord, that is, to the church, and related what had occurred and how courageously they had acted in the name of Jesus. The whole church, it is then said, when they had heard that, lifted up the voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, thy servant, hast said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, and against his Christ. For of a truth, in this city, against thy holy Son Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. These are the voices of the church, from which every church had its origin. These are the voices of the metropolis of the citizens of the new covenant. These are the voices of the apostles. These are the voices of the disciples of the Lord, the truly perfect, who after the assumption of the Lord were perfected by the Spirit and called upon the God who made heaven and earth and the sea, who was announced by the prophets, and Jesus Christ his Son, whom God anointed, and who knew no other God. For at that time and place there was neither Valentinus, nor Marcion, nor the rest of these subverters of the truth and their adherents. Wherefore God, the maker of all things, heard them. For it is said, The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness to everyone that was willing to believe. And with great power, it is added, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, saying to them, The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye seized and slew, hanging him upon a beam of wood. Him hath God raised up by his right hand to be a prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are in the witnesses of these words, as also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them who believe in him. And daily, it is said, in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not to teach and preach Christ Jesus, the Son of God. For this was the knowledge of salvation, which renders those who acknowledge his Son's coming perfect towards God. But as some of these men impudently assert that the apostles, when preaching among the Jews, could not declare to them another God besides him in whom they, their hearers, believed, we say to them that if the apostles used to speak to people in accordance with the opinion instilled into them of old, no one learned the truth from them, nor, at a much earlier date, from the Lord. For they say that he did himself speak after the same fashion. Wherefore, neither do these men themselves know the truth, but, since such was their opinion regarding God, they had just received doctrine as they were able to hear it. According to this manner of speaking, therefore, the rule of truth can be with nobody. But all learners will ascribe this practice to all teachers, that just as every person thought, and as far as his capability extended, so was also the language addressed to him. But the advent of the Lord will appear superfluous and useless if he did indeed come intending to tolerate and preserve each man's idea regarding God, rooted in him from of old. Besides this, also, it was a much heavier task that he whom the Jews had seen as a man, and had fastened to the cross, should be preached as Christ the Son of God, their eternal King. Since this, however, was so, they certainly did not speak to them in accordance with their old belief. For they who had told them to their face that they were the slayers of the Lord would themselves also much more boldly preach that Father who is above the demiurge, and not what each individual bid himself believe respecting God. And the sin was much less if indeed they had not fastened to the cross the superior Savior, to whom it behooved them to ascend, since he was impassable. For as they did not speak to the Gentiles in compliance with their notions, but told them with boldness that their gods were no gods, but the idols of demons, so would they in a like manner have preached to the Jews, if they had known another greater or more perfect Father, not nourishing nor strengthening the untrue opinion of these men regarding God. Moreover, while destroying the error of the Gentiles and bearing them away from their gods, they certainly did not induce another error upon them, but removing them, those which were no gods, they pointed out him who alone was God and true Father. From the words of Peter, therefore, which he addressed in Caesarea to Cornelius the centurion, and those Gentiles with him to whom the word of God was first preached, we can understand what the apostles used to preach, the nature of their preaching, and their idea in regard to God. For this Cornelius was, it is said, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his house, giving much alms to the people, and praying to God always. He saw, therefore, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, and saying, "Thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Wherefore, send to Simon, who is called Peter." But when Peter saw the vision in which the voice from heaven said to him, "What God hath cleansed, call thou not common," this happened to teach him that the God who had, through the law, distinguished between clean and unclean, was he who had purified the Gentiles through the blood of his Son, he whom also Cornelius worshipped. To whom Peter, coming in, said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." He thus clearly indicates that he whom Cornelius had previously feared as God, of whom he had heard through the law and the prophets, for whose sake also he used to give alms, is in truth God. The knowledge of the Son was, however, wanting to him. Therefore did Peter add, "The word ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Jerusalem, after the baptism which John preached, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all those things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew, hanging him on a beam of wood. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto us, witnesses chosen before of God, who did eat and drink with him after the resurrection from the dead. And he commanded us to preach among the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name every one that believes in him does receive remission of sin." The apostles therefore did preach the Son of God, of whom men were ignorant, and his coming, to those who had already been instructed as to God. But they did not bring in another God. For if Peter had known any such thing, he would have preached freely to the Gentiles that the God of the Jews was indeed one, but the God of the Christians another. And all of them, doubtless, being awestruck because of the vision of the angel, would have believed whatever was told them. But it is evident from Peter's words that he did indeed still retain the God who was already known by them. But he also bore witness to them that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the judge of the living and the dead, into whom he did also command them to be baptized for the remission of sins. And not this alone, but he witnessed that Jesus was himself the Son of God, who also, having been anointed with the Holy Spirit, is called Jesus Christ. And he is the same being that was born of Mary, as the testimony of Peter implies. Can it really be that Peter was not at that time as yet in possession of the perfect knowledge which these men discovered afterwards? According to them, therefore, Peter was imperfect, and the rest of the apostles were imperfect, and so it would be fitting that they, coming to life again, should become disciples of these men, in order that they too might be made perfect. But this is truly ridiculous. These men, in fact, are proved not to be disciples of the apostles, but of their own wicked notions. To this cause also are due the various opinions which exist among them, inasmuch as each one adopted error just as he was capable of embracing it. But the church throughout all the world, having its origin from the apostles, perseveres in one and the same opinion with regard to God and his Son. End of part 1 of chapter 12.